Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. Attention. Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! Rebel Radio presents the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome everyone to In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, it is WrestleMania week. Guys, I'm Scotty Villa with Paralegal Mike. Okay, Tom. Sorry, I'm all fired. Dude, I'm not going to lie. I was talking to a coworker about this earlier today. He's like, man, I can't believe Mania's here already. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been dying for this for like the last month. March dragged as I was getting ready for Mania. Dudes, I'm hyped. How are we feeling, fellas?
Feel good. I'm excited to talk about the show, see what we all think. I am very interested to see just how different our predictions are.
Yeah, it's the prediction wise, we're talking a little bit off there. I think they're going to be pretty split up across the board. I'm very excited. It's a big show. It's the go home show of the In My House Pro Wrestling podcast. The real go home show where shit happens and it's exciting and it's not 3 hours.
This man is upset he watched Monday Night Raw.
You know, Twitter is my best friend on Monday nights. Any televised wrestling night, Twitter is my best friend.
That's true.
But before we get into that, obviously, big news in the pro wrestling world. CM Punk, unfiltered.
Good job with the film.
Well, I mean, come on. Sat down with old Ariel. Let me tell you, I don't like that guy. I don't care for him.
Really?
I don't like the show? No, I don't. I think that guy thinks he's better than everybody.
I don't think he's a very good interviewer.
Wow. I think the opposite, and I work in the media, so I'm right. No. For me, I do watch the way he interviews people. And especially wrestlers. I'm not a big MMA guy, so I don't watch any of MMA Hour unless it's got pro wrestling on it. I like the way he sets questions up, and then I feel like it's a natural follow-up question, because I feel like he's asking a question legitimately and genuinely. He's like, well, why did that happen? Well, where were you when you signed the contract to come back to WWE? I know he's going to ask that question, but I think he's very good at making it seem like it's just part of the conversation. But you guys don't like him, eh?
No, I actually listened to that whole thing, which, of course, who wasn't going to? You're hoping Pepsi Phil is going to deliver. I thought Pepsi Phil looked like a fucking crybaby. I did. I didn't think Pepsi Phil, like, yeah, he had a lot to say. I also don't think it reflects well on CM Punk with how he said it. That being said, if you're Tony Khan right now, you're fucking just upset. Just mad. But before we start with CM Punk, I want to quickly get into Rhea Ripley, also on the show with an altercation with Becky Lynch. Fucking hated it.
I didn't like that at all.
Just absolutely hate it. I still don't feel excited for this match. I worry about it, actually. Monday Night Raw proved that too. But obviously the meat and potatoes with CM Punk. UK Tom, what'd you think about old Pepsi Phil?
So I'll caveat that I didn't watch the whole thing. The aerial dude was annoying me too much.
Wow.
So I found a best of on Twitter and just listened to CM Punk body Tony Khan. Just fucking you know when Hulk gets hold of what's his name?
Loki?
Thor's brother, Loki, and
yeah.
That's what CM Punk did to Tony Khan. And we said it in the chat, and I appreciated that he didn't go, well, that guy's just a dick about everybody. He just said how he felt, and you can't take that away from him. He might not have been right about everything, but it was just how he felt, and everyone's entitled to that. I'm glad I didn't watch the whole thing.
It is long.
I watched the whole thing live. While I should have been working, but I watched the whole thing live. And while I was actually working today, I had it on again in case I missed anything, little nuances, little things to pick up. I enjoyed it. I thought we got more than what we were expecting because
fucking
the
rumors Mark.
I'll agree with you there, Scott. We got, even in the little best of that I watched, we got way more out of Punk than I thought we would because he's so litigation scared. We're not scared, but he's never said anything before, so it was more than I thought he was
going to. Exactly. And we've always heard since Brawlout that there's NDAs. Nobody can speak about anything. And while he didn't go into complete details because...
Well, Brawlout was pretty clear. That's NDA. Like, yeah, he's not, he ain't allowed to talk about Brawlout, which is the one thing I want to hear about. I don't fuck care about little bitch boy Jack Perry. When that story came out, I'm like, yeah, it kind of sounds like a spoiled kid. And their working environment, like we've been saying, along with their booking, is not that of a high-level company. Mm-hmm. And I think CM Punk made that very clear. Go be the boss. When you have to say that to the fucking boss, that makes me worry about your promotion going forward. And that's one thing I'll give Punk. And it sucks being CM Punk in this situation where you just look more corporate than ever. You're fucking CM Punk, and you're like, I'm there to, you know, sell tickets and draw. I'm like, are you? But you also tell me in the same thing that you're like, I may have, you know, gave the fans what they want by saying I was coming back to pro wrestling. You did that. You chose this.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. There's some lights where I'm like, Twitter ate the guy alive. There's some people who are very unhappy with how Punk was speaking. He's a Fed guy now, so this should shock nobody.
Yeah. I was happy with what he said. He said more than I ever expected him to when it comes to AEW, when it comes to Brawlout, Tony specifically, and the Jack Perry situation. Because there was always speculation and rumor that he wasn't happy with the way things were going down with once the Hangman Adam Page stuff started. But according to Punk, to Phil, he was like, just let me go. I'm not happy here. This is not going the way I thought it was. And Tony's like, no, I'm not going to do that. So he wanted to go much longer than that. I like the fact that he said the best stuff he did was with MJF. And that storyline was great. I like the fact that he didn't hold back and said Tony Khan isn't a boss. He's a guy that is running a promotion that wants to put on good wrestling matches, but that's not the entire business. And that's a very simple way of putting it for everyone to understand. And I appreciated that Punk did that. Obviously, Tony's not going to like it. I don't think a lot of the AEW roster is going to like it. The one thing I wish Ariel would have followed up on was what happened between him and the Bucks. Because before he ever came to AEW, CM Punk, whenever he put out a little wrestling Easter egg on Twitter, social media, it would be something along the lines of the Young Bucks are the best thing in wrestling. Something along those lines. And then he gets there and apparently the Elite did not want him there. So I wish we would have got more follow-up on that, but I was happy with what we got. I like the fact that he said, I didn't hit anybody. I might have choked the guy a little bit. Now, I don't believe CM Punk when he said that every time he went to Tony Khan to say, hey, are you going to be the boss and handle this? Where he said he went up to Tony politely. If Punk was already miserable a few months in and then a few months later, something happens, do you think he's going calmly to Tony and be like, can you please handle this? I don't buy that for a second.
I
believe Punk was pretty frustrated and probably said a few other choice words.
But then wouldn't you?
Oh, I would. But Punk specifically said on the podcast with Ariel, I went to Tony calmly, asked him to handle this, because if he doesn't handle it, I'll have to handle it my way. I don't believe anything was calm in those instances. I believe they escalated.
I also believe that WWE PR had a conversation too and knew, hey, you're going to go do this interview. You're an employee here. Could you maybe keep this above water and be as calm as you could be?
Oh, for sure.
Like, we're trying to show that you're going to flourish here and you're not going to be that CM Punk. And so far, so good from what we're hearing in that locker room. Granted, everyone will twist the story about what's happening, but it sounds like he's working with those he needs to work with in a professional manner. And you want to keep that. That's the mood you want around CM Punk and WWE. So I feel like that team was involved. Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
There was two parts of the interview that I saw in my little best of that I really liked. One of them because it made me howl with laughter. And that's when he was talking about Vince McMahon. And then he said, and I never saw him again. And yeah. Ariel said, why? What happened? Well, some shit went down.
Some things came up, Ariel.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And I also really liked his point. We kind of touched on it where they were talking about AEW is not in business to sell tickets. And I mean, we saw that firsthand in the Brand Center. Like, the Brand Center is not a huge building. And what? I don't even think that was half full when we were there.
You're seeing it every week on social media.
It was a great show. One of the funnest shows I've been to. But they need to start making some fucking money, especially if they're paying Okada like $10 million or whatever the hell it was. Five, maybe? I can't remember. But
I agree.
The promotion, like this also, like if you're an AEW, you're right. How do you not feel deflated when all the eyes on this interview happened? There's more eyes on this CM Punk interview than there are on Dynamite or Collision in a week. So this hurts to hear. And that locker room who, yeah, CM Punk does have friends there. It's pretty clear. Obviously, we know people were released. I don't think they're huge stars that were released. I think it's good to trim the fat where you can. If you are sitting on talent that you are just absolutely not using, yes, at some point you should get rid of them. I think there's people that are getting into contract time where I think there is going to be a shift again where we're going to see guys leaving AEW where the grass is apparently greener and trying to come to the big show, which is the WWE. It's a matter of time until we start seeing some big stars head back to WWE.
I have a question unrelated to Punk, but related to what you just said. How do you think Edge feels? He's in empty arenas, having fantastic matches, but watching WWE have their, like, what was that, their 14th TV sellout of 16,000 people? Yeah. He can't be happy.
I think he's probably not stoked about it, but while he was there, they straight up said, we got nothing for you. And I mean, he wanted to keep working. And Tony said, I'll give you pretty much whatever you want. We can build storylines that you want to build. And the one with Christian was fantastic, in my opinion, with a great payoff. But I obviously don't know Edge at all, but he seems like a guy that would try to help and fix that situation. And the way he tries to help and fix situations is coming up with good wrestling ideas. And it's on Tony and the company to promote this shit a lot better. We talked about how when Collision came to our little city here in Regina with a arena that only holds what, 8,000 people, and we got 3,000, a little more than that. Sure, it sounded and looked great on TV, but they didn't promote the show until 3 or 4 days before the show was actually live. They didn't have billboards up. They didn't have electronic billboards up. The promotion of the promotion is the problem that we've seen over and over again.
Yeah, well, I listened to one of our little local radio stations every day at work. It's Jack FM. I listen every day.
I'm down the hall from right now.
I know. Don't tell Woody to shut up. I listen every day, and they only started talking about Collision coming on that Saturday on the Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And like one of them, Sean from the Sean and Jen show, is a wrestling fan. He's like, I didn't even know they were coming. And he works for the radio show who is promoting them.
That's one of the bigger problems with AEW.
I can't say it enough. Enjoy the next couple of years, because that's it. AEW doesn't go the distance. They're not going to be that company. At some point, your ratings on TV show. You don't get a good enough streaming deal, that's going to show. Your competition is blowing up into a space where if you can't conquer or try to compete, you are just irrelevant. Sorry. Tony, your dad is even going to say, you're going to keep bleeding money, or are you going to show that we can make this thing profitable?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And right now, sure, sign all the talent you want. But shit, you show a kid right now a picture of Okada or a picture of goddamn anyone in the Fed, a kid will know the superstar in the Fed and not AEW. That's a problem.
Well, I saw on Twitter today, I was on the @AMILESPOD Twitter account, and I saw a bunch of podcasts replying to someone's post, and the post said, how come you podcasts out there only talk about WWE right now when there's TNA and New Japan Pro Wrestling and so-and-so?
Fuck off.
And everyone was trying to like, well, we talk about this, we talk about this. I didn't reply, but my instant reaction is make us want to talk about you. Do better. It's that easy.
We're not going to be a podcast who breaks down every match across every promotion or indie. We don't have the time. It is WrestleMania season. Hey, all those people who started a podcast, why'd you start your podcast?
Mm-hmm.
What promotion made you start a podcast? I have a small feeling the thing that made you become a wrestling fan was WWE.
There's a very high chance of that.
I don't it wasn't for me. Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. You don't have to flex. You can just own it. And it's Mania season. Us talking about AEW right now, we want it to succeed. I'm sorry if it sounds like we're being negative. Prove me wrong. The things they have been doing wrong, they've continued to keep doing wrong. They still don't book smaller rooms. Like, if you just show a full goddamn audience, that's appealing to the TV people going, it's coming to my city. Like, this looks like fun. When you see a WWE show, that place is full and alive.
What's really interesting to me is, so obviously, WrestleMania weekend this weekend, pretty much every company in the world is running a show in Philly, including Ring of Honor. Now, they have booked a venue that is, in my personal opinion, far too fucking big for current Ring of Honor. Like, why did they not go to the ECW Arena? It's right fucking there.
They don't want to do it. Tony Khan came out a couple weeks ago saying, because he was asked, why aren't you booking smaller venues now when your crowd is a little bit smaller, but you can fill a smaller venue? And he came up with this very Tony Khan business answer where in the long run, it will make more money by booking venues like this and filling those seats eventually. It was a very typical Tony answer, which I can't listen to or read him do interviews anymore because he doesn't answer anything.
Yeah. When he was done, did he say, we're going to have a really great episode of Dynamite this
week? Of course he did.
Like, fuck.
But jumping back to how this conversation started, I hope this is the conversation that AEW is having. I hope this is the conversation that Tony Khan and his board of directors, his creative team, whatever it is having after that CM Punk interview. If they were smart, and I'm sure there's some smart people there, you better have the best fucking episode of Dynamite this week before Mania. Try and steal a headline. Don't bow down to being like, it'll be forgotten in 2 days because Mania is coming up this weekend, which kind of has been their MO. Steal some headlines. Make us come back even before Mania and be like, we got to talk about AEW before Mania because that was awesome. If you're not going to do that, and if you're not trying to do that, I don't know how much more I got for you guys.
It's really good you say that. Tom actually brought up a good point too. WrestleMania week is awesome for wrestling fans. Like, it's not just necessarily for the big one. We all love WrestleMania. Of course, that's the huge draw if you're going to Philly, but there is a week's worth of entertainment every day for you to go see. If you are into wrestling, there is a promotion there that you can go see that you've never seen before.
Right.
So actually priced up two things this weekend. Now, like most wrestling fans, my dream is to go to WrestleMania. You guys have been, I haven't. I hate that.
As you should, dude.
But I am also incredibly picky. Like, there is a reason that I buy those VIP tickets for even our small, tiny little CWE show. It's like, if I'm not front row, I don't want to go. And that includes WrestleMania.
You better win the lottery, brother.
Now, this was the point I was getting to. Now, I priced it up for Philly WrestleMania when the tickets went on sale. For me, just me to go, it was $9,500.
Yeah. No.
Whereas I can go to GCW's The Collective in the same city as WrestleMania and get front row seats for 16 shows in 4 days, and it's $900.
Yep.
So now I'm actually thinking, well, maybe I want to go to The Collective and not WrestleMania, and I'll just happen to bump into some WWE guys whilst I'm there.
Right?
Potential, like, sir.
It's bound to happen. But, and that's the kind of the bummer. Mike, you and I had even talked about when the rumor is that WrestleMania next year is going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yep.
And instantly, like, we're going. It's that close to home. We're going. But then you hit me with the question, do we do both nights? And I was like, oh, fuck.
So we didn't have that problem. I think you have to at this point. The way the cards are shaping up, which we're getting ramped up and ready to get into. Yeah, I think you have to do both nights. You can't just go and see Saturday, fly home, and be like, oh, should have saw Sunday. Like,
right. And that's the thing, because Mike, when you and I went to WrestleMania 32 in Dallas at AT&T Stadium, we were not on the floor. We weren't on the first lower bowl. We weren't even in the second, like, or first initial layer of the upper decks. We were like second upper deck, not the very top. But those tickets were still $750 each.
Yep.
And I can't even imagine what it is now.
The joy of AT&T Stadium was that not only that screen, but even then you could see the ring. Like, you could see the action.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. I love being up close and personal at wrestling. There's nothing like it.
Agreed.
But when the seats are that expensive, like, it's no different than the Super Bowl, right? Like, the average person now is getting priced out and not being able to afford great seats at these events. And that trend will continue. Like, we're not going to win that battle. Like you said, it's $9,000 for you to go to WrestleMania.
How does Green Shirt Guy do it? Like, fucking.
I want to know what he does.
He won the lottery.
Had to.
He won the Mega Millions.
Had to.
I think he works for WWE.
people have been saying that too. He knows someone. But speaking of, guys, WrestleMania.
Ooh.
We're done. We're done being negative. We're it's a go home show. And we're ready to talk about WrestleMania. Now, before we get into the main card on night one, we got to take care of some business for Friday night. We need to talk about the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, which, boys, I got some thoughts now after watching 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. Do you want me to go through the whole list of competitors? Because I really don't want to read off everyone's name, because only two of them are going to matter in this match, I think. So I'm just going to go ahead and lay it out there. This thing's coming down to Andrade and Ricochet.
Wild.
And I like where they're going with it. I think we've got a Ricochet problem. Andrade's got to be on. Those two will kill. Like, burn the house down. Incredible match. I do think Andrade is going to win.
I think he has to.
I think now, especially, and to eliminate Ricochet. Like, they'll be the last two, for sure. But that will start a really promising feud between those two, and we'll get a nice program for at least a month's time. Get Andrade back in that scene and really get him going.
So I have a question about this. Did I miss something where they teased something between Andrade and Ricochet? Like, where is this coming from?
It was a Judgment Day segment on Raw last night. Andrade came in and they brought up, we have a Ricochet problem. And I believe it was Dom who said, you want to take care of our Ricochet problem.
Huh. And you think that leads to the Battle Royal?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think it leads to Andrade getting him out, but Ricochet and comes out. And I think with the momentum of his matches, if you watch Monday Night Raw, you have to say Ivar and Ricochet was awesome, because it was awesome. It was an awesome match. It's probably the highlight match of that go home show.
Yeah.
I loved it. And Ricochet has been getting highlighted that way on many episodes. So I think we now need a good promo from Ricochet to Andrade after the loss. And let's fire that up. Because are they still doing Payback? Is Payback the next pay-per-view?
No, Backlash.
It's Backlash, sorry. Yeah,
Paris is.
Cool. Plan that for Backlash.
So you're
the show.
You're going Andrade for
I'm going Andrade.
Andre. Tom?
Yeah.
Andrade.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't piece all those pieces together. I saw that segment. And I didn't think, okay, they're going to give us a payoff in the Battle Royal. I was thinking after Mania, night after Mania. I'm going to stick with my original, and this might not make me Booker of the Year, but I'm going Chad Gable. I feel like they've cooled him off a little bit. I hope he's not involved with the Sammy Gunther shit at all at Mania, but I'm going to go Chad Gable. I think they could get some momentum going back with him. So I'm going to pick Chad.
My final four are Andrade, Ricochet, Chad Gable, and Shinsuke.
Awesome. It's a great final four. Fantastic final four.
And the reason for Shinsuke is the WrestleMania crowd is the smart crowd. So they will remember La Sombra or Andrade versus Shinsuke from New Japan, and it'll get a pop. That's why I think Shinsuke will be there.
I like that. Guys, I'm pumped. We're getting into it now. We're talking night one of WrestleMania. What do we got?
Well, Scotty's request. We're going to start off with the big one. We're going to start off with the main event of night one, and that is the final boss, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. Guys, been quite the build.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Monday's lashing was pretty good.
Did you see after Raw went off the air, The Rock started lashing the referee?
Yeah, and he barely fucking sold it. Fuck that.
He was like, I'm not paid for this shit. Jump straight out of the ring.
Tom, I'm going to start with you. Who do we got?
I'm going Cody and Seth.
Wow.
I'm going Cody pins Dwayne. And I'm one thing that has been part of the buildup on Twitter that has surprised me is people thinking The Rock's not going to be able to go.
Oh,
did you see his selling on Raw last night? The guy looked fantastic. And his whole thing is he's never been the best wrestler. He's like Austin. He's never been the best. He didn't need to be.
I think one of the reasons why people are saying he can't go is because when he did that little thing with Jinder a few weeks ago, dude was blowing sky high, sucking wind real bad. So yeah, that's where I think that came from. But anyway, go ahead. You're going Cody and Seth.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I'm also like, whoa. I didn't want to be Booker of the Year at all.
I'm going Cody and Seth purely because I think WWE are trying to push Cody into that John Cena territory. And the only way they are going to do that is if he pins both The Rock and Roman in one weekend.
Oof.
Mm.
Oh my god!
It's gonna kill me to say it when I go to meet.
Adrenaline in the soul.
I think Cody is there. Like I think he is in the spot. It kills me to say it, but that's like again, it'd be good, but no, you night one, you wanna leave deflated, and I would love it to be on night two. I would. But there, on night one, it's going to be The Rock and Roman Reigns. It's going to be Bloodline rules for the main event.
I just think The Rock is there to lay down.
Nah.
Wow.
Especially with how strong he's looked in the build to this. Like, I predict he's getting color, and he's taking the pin.
The color, yeah, for sure. Like, that's, you got to get the receipt. But I do think it's Rock and Roman that's going to push it, because if they're smart, and I mean, here's hoping, it's going to be the Dwayne turn on Roman during the Bloodline match. And it's going to be because of what Roman says. You got to keep Roman heel.
Oh,
remember this, no matter what, Roman's got to leave being a bad guy. Roman doing something to Rock to piss him off is going to be huge.
Okay, with Rock and Roman going over, then who gets the pin and who do they pin?
Oh, Seth will get pinned. Seth will eat that one.
and then lose to Drew the next night too?
Yeah.
Like, that's a shame.
I have a theory on that. I think Seth is going away for a little bit.
I think he might be too.
And yeah, I think he could eat the pin twice and then come back and be a heel. That's my long shot booking just from right now.
I think it's a good send off for a lot of guys for a little bit, this Mania. Like a lot of big stars who are going to get to take the breather. I think Roman's obviously getting the breather.
Again.
Like, yeah. I mean, as a champion, I like when Roman's like on and off TV, but this will be, Roman's going to be gone. But no, I do firmly believe they want Bloodline rules, and they want this night two to be a spectacle. And especially with the internet marks, we're just like, Cena and Austin are going to come out and help Cody.
I hope not.
Yeah, I also don't want that.
I don't either.
It's a huge rub for Cody if the Rattlesnake comes out for you. Like, you talk about being there and, like, or seeing The Rock and Austin trade blows, you'll pop. You'll pop.
Big time, right? But when you break it down, it's no different than the NWO coming out in Sting and Triple H. It doesn't make sense to the story right now. John Cena hasn't really been part of this Cody bloodline story.
No.
He gave Cody the rub when he came back because he raised his arm. Stone Cold hasn't been at all. He's just coming back for a pop, which there's nothing against the Fed doing that. But I truly don't believe that Austin has anything to do with this other than he used to wrestle The Rock back in the day.
One more good enough for stunner.
Good enough for the average viewer. Good enough for the Twitter clicks. Like, you got to remember at this point, we're there. Like, we're a fan they want to cater to. But when you get that many impressions on Twitter, Stone Cold shows up.
Yeah.
Your shit blows sky high.
I think we get Austin, but it's not in the match with The Rock.
I mean, I'm not saying that's the internet saying they're coming back. Yeah. But that night is Bloodline Rules. Night 2 is Bloodline Rules. I'm going Rock and Roman. Scotty?
I'm going Rock and Roman as well. I think Roman gets the pin on Seth. Because I just from Monday Night Raw with whole Seth calling out Roman, I was like, I'd watch that match again. We've seen Roman and Seth before with the whole Shield tease and all that shit. But within that match at some point, kind of like what Paralegal Mike alluded to earlier, I feel like we're going to get some tension between Rock and Roman. I feel like Roman's going to start spouting off and throwing out directions and orders to The Rock, and The Rock's going to start looking at him cockeyed like, do you know who I am? Like, you're the tribal chief, but I'm the real head of this table, of this family. I think that's where it's going to start to come in and play, where we start getting that turn. So I'm going Rock and Roman, and I hoping there's some tension there. But Tom going with the Cody and Seth, which
I didn't see
scare the shit out of me if that happened, because holy fuck, I don't want to watch Sunday night if that happens.
I'd be stoked to watch Sunday night.
I just think Cody's got to win clean after the last 2 years.
I do too. I'll get into that when we talk about the main event of Sunday night.
But we can get a couple here before we got to split our episodes up, guys. It's a megasode. But we're gonna head back down. We're gonna talk about Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio, guys.
And Carlito? Oh no, he didn't get picked.
No, Carlito.
Fuck's sakes. I think the crowd could hijack this match and start chanting Carlito's name quite a bit. Because everyone wanted Carlito to be.
Oh, if he's out there, if they're at ringside, that's the worst idea they've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. I
guys, I got to say, not one I'm super invested in. I got my winner. And it's going to be Santos Escobar and Dominic for the win.
Santos and Dom, eh? I'm going to go the same. And I'm also going to go with a Carlito heel turn.
Oh, I like
that.
To
give the bad guys the win. Because he's not being respected by the LWO leader. And now if you got Dragon Lee in there, you can afford to take another guy out. So
I am going Santos and Dom too. But that's purely because then Ray has one win at Mania. Dom has a win at Mania. And then that leads into my mask versus hair idea.
Yeah, that's right.
That is so good.
I think the big one here is that we're going to see the end of the Judgment Day at WrestleMania. Will be the fizzle.
I think it's the beginning of the end.
Yeah, and I think it's good that you have now got Santos and Dominic close together and Andrade in that fold. Carlito heel turn would make it really great for Dom to be in a different faction. I think that's more likely.
Is Dom the leader of that faction? Because I think he is.
Yeah, and when you want to break it finally, then Andrade takes him the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're right. I think we start to see the end of the Judgment Day. But I think Priest goes off on his own. Finn and JD start as a team. And Dom and Rhea, they don't officially... they just appear on screen every now and again together.
Okay.
I don't think we see the end of Dom and Rhea because it's TV gold and the Fed know that.
It's true. That's true.
Good call. Good call. We're all going Santos and Dominic here over Rey and Dragon Lee.
Next up, we are going to go with Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill versus Damage Control. Tom, who do you have in this matchup? I think we're all going to be the same on this one.
Oh, it's going to be Belair, Cargill, and Naomi. I still standing by my initial idea that Bianca and Jade are the next tag team champions. But yeah, I'm interested to see what Jade's done after all of her training. I'm actually quite looking forward to it.
Yep. I think it's a match that I think will be okay. I think it's really there to highlight Jade, which we all know. Mm-hmm. And what a better way to do it than the big win.
Especially
like
on
WrestleMania.
Some of all three girls on Damage Control are considerably smaller than Jade. I think she's going to throw them around quite a bit. When you had mentioned before, Tom, that you think Jade and Bianca were going to be tag team champions, I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, they have to be against each other eventually. But I never really thought about
how
you would get to someone turning on somebody. Well, of course you make them tag team champions until someone takes the pin and the other girl gets mad and turns on their... So I like your booking quite a bit. Tag team champions would be a smart idea. Then if you use it to a smaller team like the Unholy Union at some point, then the turn can happen.
The most important part for me, though, is that it's Bianca that goes heel, not Jade.
I agree. I'm with you on that. Bianca's getting stale as a baby face. Let's switch it up. Switch it up.
I'm a big fan of her, and I still enjoy her work.
Oh, yeah.
But let's change up the gimmick a little bit.
And you could have Jade be a badass baby face. So.
Yeah. So who you got, Scott? I'm assuming it's the same.
Oh, yeah. I'm going the same. It's Jade.
I figured is this one was going to be pretty clear cut.
Yeah.
Do you want to do one more?
Let's do one more.
Okay. Let's do the six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. We have the Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth versus DIY versus New Day versus New Catch Republic, the worst name in tag team wrestling, versus A-Town Down Under. Okay, Scotty, hit us with it. Who do you have? I like your booking. I stole the idea from my picks. So,
so I think I've kind of addressed this or talked about my booking idea for the tag team title ladder match at Mania, where I think two teams will win it because they were very specific on Raw this week saying whoever pulls down both sets of belts, the match doesn't end until both sets of belts have been brought down. So I think there's going to be two winners.
Yes, there is.
I think Judgment Day is losing both sets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with DIY, which I don't agree with. I have a feeling they've got more planned for these guys. So I'm going with DIY. Mike, I'm having trouble booking the other one. Can you read the list again for me real quick?
Yes, of course. I'd love to. It's Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth versus DIY versus The New Day versus New Catch Republic versus A-Town Down Under.
Ooh, I would love to see the New Day hold titles again, but I don't think they're going to. It's one of those situations where they never need championships again because they're so bloody over. Oh man, this is tough, dude. They're not going to give it to New Catch Republic, so I'm going DIY, and they're on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get it on the SmackDown side is pretty weak. Pretty weak. You know what? I'm going to go. I don't think this is right, but I'm going to guess because I've wasted a lot of time here. I'm going DIY and I'm changing my original thought. I think Judgment Day will keep one of the sets of tag titles.
Okay.
DIY.
Tom, what's your thoughts on the six pack ladder match? Who do you got?
So I'm really excited for this match. I love ladder matches and I love the fact that they can split the bumps out. But because there's 12 of you in there, I'm expecting some fucking bumps, boys. I have the exact same thought as Scott. They're going to split the tag belts back out, and I really hope they do. My thoughts are the Judgment Day lose both belts. And I think for the Raw tag titles, they're going on Awesome Truth. I don't think they build up R-Truth like that as especially with as much as he's been involved with the Judgment Day, I think. But just as a fun fact, I also think that Awesome Truth then lose the titles on the next night on Raw.
Yeah.
We've seen that before.
And for the SmackDown belts, I really hope it's Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
Fuck you. Tom has my exact picks. My exact picks.
So can I go, can I explain why I didn't pick them? Because that initially was my thoughts. But there were some dirty rumors here in the last couple of days that there was some talk, speculation. I believe Sean Ross Sapp had this. I could be wrong, but I think it was him saying that they may not be involved in the match at all, that they may be replaced or taken out. So that's why I didn't go with them. I didn't want one of my picks
to be replaced with another team.
That's what the dirties are saying. Now,
one of the dirties saying the fucking Hardys are coming back for that Mania pop again, or
I see it. Think the dirties are correct but wrong, and I know that makes no sense. I think we get a seventh team.
I think that's a better way to do it.
And I still will go with the two teams that I said.
I will also go with those teams. Number one, R-Truth WrestleMania moment. There's nothing going to be better than watching R-Truth hold up one of those belts on a ladder at WrestleMania. It's going to be awesome. Tom, I agree. I don't think you go through all of that with R-Truth and the Judgment Day to not have Awesome Truth get it. You're right. Lose it on
Monday.
That's
a good call.
We don't fucking care. You don't have to hold them forever. You're not going to be the greatest tag team ever. I just want the R-Truth happy moment of him getting to hold the title on a ladder at WrestleMania. There's nothing better. A-Town Down Under for my reason, because fuck those dudes. They are hated. People seeing them hold titles, they'll be irritated. And that's good for wrestling.
How good would it be to see R-Truth win the title, but then go back to the Judgment Day layer in the back and be like, guys, we won it, and try to celebrate with Judgment Day, right?
Yeah, it'd be incredible. That's great. It's great programming for Monday. Yeah. But no, Tom, I'm 100% with you. I think those are the winners for the six-pack for sure.
Nice. What do we got?
Next up, we've got Jey Uso yeeting all over the place versus his brother Jimmy.
I haven't yeeted all over the place.
Is this officiated by Lil Wayne?
It might just be.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is pretty clear cut across the board. Scott, if you want.
It's Jey Uso.
Big Jey Uso guy, yeah.
Jey Uso is getting the win. I think both of you guys, I heard from both of you guys separately, pretty simultaneously. This should open one of the shows. I don't know what night it's on, but it's
night one.
Is it night one?
Yeah.
It should open night one. That's a great opener, a hot opener. If not, it should be the tag team match, ladder match. But I'm going Jey Uso. I think you have to get back to the momentum that he had coming out of leaving the Bloodline. Mike, what do you got?
I also got Jey Uso. I think momentum is the speaking for itself. Push that through. What happens at the end will be interesting. It's good to start with them, considering that Rock, Roman, Cody, and Seth end that night. So if there is going to be shenanigans, you probably want to give those guys a little bit of a breather in between. But it's hard to say if we'll see any of that kind of shenanigans. Probably Bloodline are involved, so you usually see the Bloodline involved. Mm-hmm. But no, I've got Jey. I think it's pretty clear cut that unless they say fuck you and put Jimmy over. But I've got Jey for that one too. Like, I'm locking it in. Tom, what do you think?
Tom, are you saying fuck you, put Jey or Jimmy over?
No, I'm going with Jey.
All right. Yeah. Good.
I'm a little disappointed that another match on the card got the street fight gimmick instead of this one. Yeah. I do feel like I'm not one of these people that, hey, this match needs a gimmick, but this match needs a fucking gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, they hate each other so much. Like, it should have been something. But I still expect that the match is going to be really good, and I'm also expecting it to be fairly stiff between two brothers, because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And I think this match might be top three of the WrestleMania weekends. The top three match. I think it's going to be very good.
I think this one could steal the weekend as well. Could be great. What do we got next?
We have the Intercontinental Championship match. It's Gunther versus Sami Zayn.
Boo!
Fuck right off. You know?
I'm so torn on this. I was so high on Sammy. I'm the guy that's rooting for him. I'm the Sammy crybaby. But holy hell, have I ever not liked what they've done for Sammy the last 2 weeks. with him getting beaten by Bronson Reed 2 weeks ago, and then this week with the pseudo Rocky promo with Chad Gable. Tom, you were behind, so we didn't do this, but I text Mike directly. I said, I fucking hate this. Mm-hmm. I hate this vignette with Sammy and Chad Gable. The only thing I did like was when Sammy snapped and turned into Randy Marsh. He's like, do you want to hear me say it? Because I'm scared. I'm scared, all right? You want to hear me say it? You want to break me down? I'm scared. That was the only thing I liked because it was fired up Sami Zayn, but damn, you could have done that in a different way where I was literally waiting for him to chase a chicken. I was just like, I don't want to see you on an elliptical, dude. That's not the Sami Zayn that I know and love and have gotten behind. I just thought it was a miss for Monday Night Raw, a miss in the building of the storyline. I love the Gunther beatdown of Sami on Raw. I'm picking Sami Zayn to beat Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship.
Tom?
Gunther needs to kill him in about 5 seconds.
And
that's not because I don't like Sami Zayn. I really, really do. But it shouldn't be him that takes the Intercontinental title. I still stand by that it should be Dominic Mysterio.
It's a great choice.
Or it should be someone who's never been Intercontinental Champion before, who gets that rub from Gunther. No, in all seriousness, I know they're not going to do the whole 5 seconds thing with this, and I do expect them to have a very, very good match. I'm just not interested, which for a Gunther match, it hurts my soul.
Mm-hmm. I think the match will change your mind afterwards. I think the match will be like, that was great. I'm happy I watched that.
Unless Sammy wins, and then yeah. I'll be having a little tantrum.
It's killing me.
Your final booking is
Gunther goes over.
Gunther's going over. I love that. Booking with your heart. I love that.
What do you got?
For someone who spite books always but wants to stay on top as Booker of the Year.
Let's go.
You know what? You're right, Tom. Fuck it. Gunther beats Sammy. Gunther beats Sammy. I don't like that they did that fucking Rocky shit. If anything would have made sense, I get a program with Sammy and Chad. Like, work that in. Chad costs them the match. I'd rather see Sammy versus Chad in a program to go maybe to Gunther again.
Or
they both lost to the guy.
Adds Chad to the match and make it little bit more interesting.
You got one more window for it.
I'm changing my pick.
Locked
in. You wrote it down and everything.
Yeah.
This podcast hasn't been published yet.
All right. Okay.
With what you said, with they could do a program with Sammy and Chad Gable, that knocked me back. I was like, fuck, that's it. That's the direction we're going in, to get both guys up and over as just great workers and more character stuff. And then they're fighting to be the guy to take on Gunther next.
Yes.
God damn it. I got to scratch this up.
I do. Yeah. Gunther, I think, should go over. I'd rather him lose in like a 3-way dance than him lose to fucking Sami Zayn one. Sorry. Like, I don't see it. I think he should come out of Mania looking just as tough as ever. And yeah, we can build up to Gable, Sammy, and Gunther.
It's a hell of a match.
It's going to be a hell of a match. Damn, I don't want to take too much more time up on this match, but if you have Sammy saying I'm scared because he doesn't think he has it in him to beat Gunther, and Chad agreeing, and then he doesn't beat Gunther, why do I care about Sami Zayn anymore? Why would they do that?
It was a throwaway skit that they weren't expecting anyone to remember.
Outside of the
office. We were filling 3 hours of Monday Night Raw.
I hate that. You're so right, both.
And WrestleMania is in Philly, so we need a Rocky reference.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean, just to be a devil's advocate here, I actually really liked that promo. It made me laugh.
It wasn't supposed to make you laugh. It was supposed to make you like your heart open and cheer on Sami Zayn to beat the big bad brute from Austria. It's not supposed to make you laugh. That's our truth job.
but it did, so I liked it.
Oh, I'm officially changing my pick to Gunther, and it's killing me.
It's got to be Gunther.
All right.
Moving on.
That hurt.
To the Women's World Championship match. It's Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch in a who the fuck cares. Here we go, Tom. What do you think?
It should be Rhea.
It should be, but is that your pick, Tom?
That is my pick. It should be Rhea. I know this little podcast sometimes is not the biggest fan of Becky Lynch. But when she puts in the effort, she can go.
That's what she carries her.
Which Rhea will. I think it should be Rhea, and I think Rhea holds the title till next year's WrestleMania.
I would love nothing more.
And
I would love nothing more.
Side note, whilst we're talking about her, I finished her book, Becky's book. It's very, very good. I recommend to all wrestling fans.
I do love hearing that. Mike, Tom, Mike, I don't like Becky Lynch. I don't like her in the ring. I don't like her in the mic. I don't like her when she's attacking Rhea Ripley on the Ariel Helwani show, and it looks fucking garbage.
That looked fucking awful.
I don't like last night's segment on Monday Night Raw. For the worst beatdown and holdback ever. It's terrible. If anyone is trying
good.
Well, me and Scott just kept saying, it's like, what if we were one of those bodyguards, though? One of those security guys?
Life I don't want to have to.
Cool,
I don't want to have to edit out any more stuff. I said it in our group chat. I said it to Mike before Tom got caught up. There's nothing about Becky Lynch that I enjoy right now, and I fully believe we are going to get a bit of a double turn at Mania. I believe they're going to turn Becky heel because she's going to lose, and the crowd's going to be fully behind Rhea no matter what. Everyone loves Mommy, and this is a big part of the end of the Judgment Day. Rhea's going to go more babyface badass, which is what Becky should have been a couple years ago. But I think we're getting a bit of a double turn, and I'm going with Rhea, and I think we're going to get boo-boo face Becky, and we're going to go on from there. Mm-hmm. And I hope that Rhea takes Becky out, and we don't see Becky for months as well. Mike, you got Rhea?
It's Mommy all day. I just don't. If their goal was to try to get people behind Becky, the babyface, I think it's failed. Like, I don't think the audience is into it. I'm definitely not into it. I know I'm a minority. Like, I mean, but if even kids are watching, I think they know, like, I want to cheer for Rhea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though, like, Rhea comes out, like, looking the way she does and having that look and still being over. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think the thing we should talk about is, like, the end of the Judgment Day is going to be this Mania. This is it. Like, this is the big breaking point. And Mommy leaving is a huge piece. So, yeah, but it's Rhea. Like, Rhea has to. And if any match I want to be a squash, I want Rhea to crush Becky. And I mean, beat Becky bad.
I would have no issues with that.
Yeah, no, just would love that. Nothing more. I know they're not, because they're going to want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get highlighted. Like, that's going to be a nice 20 minutes, I'd say. But no, it's Rhea.
I think if they book Rhea right, which they have, she just doesn't wrestle enough. But if they book her right, she could be what China was supposed to be for the women's division 20 years ago.
100%. Also, the thing, too, is just when you're kind of like the de facto leader, in my eyes, of the Judgment Day, you don't need to really wrestle. You're getting enough screen time with vignettes and like backstage stuff. Let's make Rhea fighting champion. And I think that's going to help even more. Like, Rhea's over, but like, it'll be blown sky high if Rhea's in the ring more, wrestling more.
Let's make Rhea the new leader of the House of Black.
Anyway, we
don't got time, boys. We don't got time.
We don't.
Moving on.
We're moving into night two. Here we go.
Oh, we're in night two.
We're in night two. That is all the matches. We started with the big one on night one. So do we want to do the same on night two?
No.
We're saving the main event.
To the main event.
Okay. We're going to start with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament. The first Who Gives a Fuck of night two. Gotti.
I really enjoy Karrion Kross, but not in WWE. In NXT, I'm fine with him, and outside. But man, did they just fuck this guy over. But I think Karrion Kross and his Final Testament fellows need this win desperately.
Yep.
And the way the card is going, I'm trying to figure things out. Card-wise, babyface is winning, heels winning, championships moving, this, this, and that. It's a Philly street fight, so I have a feeling that the babyfaces are going to go over. Give a big crowd pop. I'm going to go Lashley in the Street Profits.
Tom, what do you think? How do you feel about it?
I don't give a fuck about the story, but it's a gimmick match, so I'm looking forward to it.
GCW.
Exactly. It's street fights are about as GCW as WWE are going to give me. Yeah. Which, side note, quick, I still can't believe that WWE are allowing Shayna Baszler to wrestle for GCW this week at their collective. I'm all for that. Give me more, because I want to see Otis in a death match. back to the match. I think Karrion and the Final Testament go over.
I'm right there with you. I am also picking the Final Testament. As our own Scotty Villa said, they need the win. It's a good way to push that forward. I think it has to be the Final Testament. I think that's if we look at what it's hard, because you try to blend bad guys and good guys winning on the card, but I think this is a fine heel win.
It's a good call. Good call. Before we move on to the next match, Tom, if they book Otis versus Microman in GCW, I will order that pay-per-view and we will all watch it together.
If they book Otis versus Microman, I'll need new underwear.
What do we got next?
Next we have LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
No, nice.
I think we're all going to be on the same page in this one.
Now, this is the actual only match on the card that I do not give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll watch it because it's AJ Styles and AJ could get in the ring and fart and I'd watch it, but AJ has to win this. Like, they fucked LA Knight and there's nothing they can do that'll bring him back. I'm so done with him that if I was booking, I'd probably just release him now. I'm just done.
Wow.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to hear his yeah. I'm just done.
Crazy.
Turn him heel. Get him away from me.
Are you going with LA Knight?
No, I'm going with AJ.
You're going AJ. Man, this is one where I'm they could easily go either way on this one. Yes, the easy pick is LA Knight, just to try to get him back over outside of the yeah chance and his entrance. I love AJ Styles. His matches are so good. And I think he'll do
at WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I know.
The match was good.
Nah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm in that camp.
You're being too nice, my friend. You're being too nice. I'm gonna go LA Knight. I just AJ doesn't lose anything by losing ever at this point. Would I love to see AJ have another world title run? Absolutely. But imagine if we get AJ versus Cody. Anyway, sorry. I'm going to go LA Knight. I think there's going to be some Slim Jims involved with the sponsorship in this match at some point, maybe the Slim Jim car. So I'm going LA Knight because of Slim Jim.
I'm going LA Knight because it's the last chance to dance. You make it or you don't. Let's hear how WrestleMania reacts to you winning. If you still got it, you still got it. Going out to TV every week, sure.
You have
that many people popping at WrestleMania, this is your last chance, and I think they're going to try to do it with LA Knight.
That's the thing. WrestleMania is always an international crowd, and international crowd ain't going to boo AJ.
That's such a good point.
But I think they're also going to cheer with LA Knight.
I think they buy
into the gimmick. Mania is tough because you're in for majority of the parties. The Rock will come out. It'll be hard to boo The Rock. It's the goddamn Rock.
Yeah. That's true. I will say one thing that's working against AJ Styles is that he teased that he's getting a new entrance song for Mania and his new character.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Fans are going to shit all over it because they've shit all over every new entrance that we've gotten, as they should.
Ass.
Yeah, they're all terrible. Even The Rock's new, like, Hollywood entrance outside of the original stuff at the beginning, I don't like it either. But that could really sink AJ Styles or get people to boo him. So
maybe that's cool. Maybe that's the goal.
Yeah.
Let's get some heat on AJ with that cheap trick. But LA Knight, I think they realized where they fucked LA Knight was Crown Jewel.
Yep.
If you're in booking and they go, oh shit, like we missed the mark on that too. Yeah, this is a good way to get LA Knight moving towards the United States Championship or maybe eventually into the IC. But no, I got LA Knight as well.
Nice. Is there any part of this is LA Knight's first match where they usually don't let a lot of people that aren't mega stars get the win on their first night at Mania or first Mania? AJ didn't win his first match. I don't think Jericho won his first match.
Jericho did.
Did he?
He was in that weird triple threat that was two falls because it was for the IC and the European title against WrestleMania 2000. Angle and He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Redacted.
Voldemort.
Voldemort. Right.
Okay. Sorry. I just want to throw that out there. Mike. Yeah. Mike. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What have we got next?
Yes. Moving on to the United States Championship triple threat. We've got Logan Paul defending against Randy Orton, Kevin Owens.
I have a question. I raised my hand. I have a question.
Yes, Scott.
I apologize because I don't remember which one of you said it earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
One of you said Stone Cold will get involved at WrestleMania, but it won't be in the Cody Rhodes match. Do you think it's this match? Okay, good, good, good. I as soon as you said that, I'm like, it's got to be the U.S. match. It's got to be the Kevin Owens match. So I love that.
And it's obviously because of the Owens and Austin history.
Mm-hmm.
But also, how much media attention is Austin dropping Logan Paul with a stunner going to get them?
Boom. True. Love that. I'm going Randy Orton, guys. I'm going Randy Orton to win the U.S. title.
Wow. Tom, what do you think?
I'm going Kevin Owens.
And I am going to say Logan Paul retains.
Wow.
The smart move is
Logan Paul retaining. Randy's going to keep going. There's guys going away, so Randy's going to move right up into a picture that matters. I think you can build Cody Randy pretty good and Randy go back to being a great heel.
I think
Kevin Owens is going to be used as their fucking floater for life. They don't give a shit what they do with Kevin Owens. He'll make TV gold with whoever he's with, but I do think the smart move is to have Logan hang on to that title.
See, I think that Owens takes the title and Logan goes after Cody.
Oh, fuck no. No.
Not right away, but that's what I think. I think we'll get it.
Wow.
I love that. Two, I think Randy wins for a little bit more of, all right, let's try to elevate somebody else. I also think they're going to give Randy a win because a lot of his win was taken out of his sale at Survivor Series.
Yeah,
for his return. I think that it's a nice way to do it. It elevates that U.S. title a little bit more again. It gets it off of Logan Paul onto Randy, who everyone just loves, absolutely loves, still gets mega pops. And it's not hurting anything. It's not hurting anybody. I think that's a nice way to go. So I'm going Randy Orton.
They're going to give it to Logan because I think they're going to have Bron Breakker beat Logan.
Oh, the next thing on SmackDown in the five second
match. I think they're going to use that tool to help Bron Breakker, and I think there's no better eyes on social media and shit than Logan Paul to do so. I don't want to see it be Randy, but I think that U.S. title is going to be destined for Bron Breakker. Like, I think that's the goal, is to get him over that way.
I'm going to say this with all love and respect, Mike. Fuck you. I hate it when you're right, because that is great booking. Fuck. See, that's great.
I think the same, but I think they're going to do it with Kevin Owens and Bron Breakker.
Which, man, I mean, you know what? Another great working match. Like, you wouldn't hate seeing it. But I'm still going Logan. It's nice that we're all split on this. This will be the one to watch where we're all losing our shit. Being like, what? Nice. Next up, we have the WWE Women's Championship match. We got Io Sky versus Bayley. Guys, it's got to be Bayley.
It's Bayley.
It's Bayley. The big moment. It's going to be Bayley, which I hope is an awesome fucking match.
I think it will be. Io is so good, and Bayley. Like, she lost a step for a little while. Like, she wasn't herself. But Bayley, when she wants to go, she's the best. I think she, of the two, when they can go, is better than Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, whatever you want to call her.
I agree.
I think she carried those matches in Brooklyn, not Sasha.
Usually the sellers do, right? That underdog baby face that can work and sell their ass off. They're usually the ones really carrying things, aka Shawn Michaels. So it's that's the way it goes. I agree with that. Don't shake your head at that. We know it's true. But do we have any ideas about Damage Control getting involved, or someone's going to come out and help Bayley at all? Or is this going to be one-on-one, no shenanigans?
I hope it's one-on-one with no shenanigans, but I think we see the six ladies from the six woman tag all out there.
Oh yeah.
Good call. Oh, yeah.
Just another way to get Jade on the TV again, which, I mean, they need to do at this point.
Yeah, that's actually pretty smart going into it, but yeah, it's nice to win for Bayley still, though.
Also, nice. Will lead nicely into Jade and Bianca challenging the Kabukis for the women's tag titles.
Oh. This man's got long term booking down packed. See that, love Tony Khan? It's not that fucking hard.
It's about an hour and a half of talking with your buddies. Hey,
Tony, give me $1 million a year and I'll book your fucking arenas full. Yeah. I promise.
I'll do it for $999,999.
Motherfucker.
I'll do it for free. I just want the clout. Next up, we are in the final two matches of WrestleMania.
Oh.
Which I believe this will be the opener. It's the World Heavyweight Championship. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. I liked Drew's vignette on Raw. I really did.
Absolutely.
I think Drew in the last couple of weeks, I know Tom has his moments with Drew McIntyre, but I really do think stride has been hit. I really liked Monday's vignette a lot. And earlier conversations about night one. Yeah, it's very possible that Seth is going to get a nice vacation after WrestleMania. And if that's the case, but I mean, going in, no matter what, I wanted Drew. My pick is going to be Drew in what I think is going to be just a hell of a match. I think they're going to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah. And I mean, if anything, their previous matches show that they work very, very well together. Quick point on Drew McIntyre's promos. They have been fantastic since they stopped handing that man a script.
Yeah.
I'm going Drew McIntyre. And I think he will be very, very good champion for a little while.
I'm going Drew as well. I think Drew will get involved in a tag team match on night one and attack Seth's knee and or back at some point. Because I think we're going to see Jey Uso or Jimmy Uso and Solo involved. But no one's going to expect Drew to come out. I think Drew comes out, and then I think we see the absolute, like, decimation of, is that a word?
Yes.
I think so. Of Seth Rollins. I think Drew McIntyre is going to pick him apart. We're going to see a very valiant effort by Seth, but I think we're getting a whole new Drew McIntyre that's going to be a fucking machine.
Yep. So, and the Drew Punk stare down. I've now decided that Punk won't get involved, but you're getting that stare down for sure with Drew and Punk.
I think you're right about this opening, because night one starts and the first person you see walk out, CM Punk.
Good call. Good
That's going to be a hell of a pop.
Yep. Because you announced him to come down to the fucking commentary desk. Ridiculous.
The amount that we heard CM Punk's name in Drew's promo last night, or references to Punk, definitely sets it up. I think Punk's coming back a little bit sooner than originally reported. So,
you know how fucking wild it'd be if it's just work up until the match starts?
Yes.
And then they make it that fucking three-way?
Mm.
It sucks if it happens, because I still think Drew's got to go over if that does happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, really play into that. Work the arm. Do all that shit. Like, be that guy. But Drew needs to come out holding that belt.
We're all going Drew on this one, fellas?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I like it. I like it. Drew's got to have a hell of a run here, I think. Especially with the Clash in the Castle pay-per-view being, I believe, in his hometown?
Yeah. Well, close enough.
Close enough.
We'll count.
Yeah.
And now, the big one. It's the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match. It's Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. You know, stipulation, no stipulation, probably bloodline rules.
Nope.
Tom is saying no.
Yep.
I do say it's going to be bloodline rules.
Same with me.
All right. Scotty Villa, resident crybaby. Could you let us know what's going to happen in this match? Who do you got?
I have Cody Rhodes winning the Undisputed Universal WWE Heavyweight Championship of the Universal World. It's called. I shouldn't say I think this will happen. I should say this is the way I would like to see it happen. Like I said before, I think it's Bloodline rules. I think there's going to be some issues in that tag team match, and The Rock is not happy about it. And I think when Paul Heyman or Roman calls for the rest of the Bloodline, The Rock will stop those guys from coming out and say, he can be the tribal chief, but I am the final boss. I am the guy. You're going to listen to me. If you don't, you're going to get smacked or whatever. Right? He may even throw down the Solo, because Solo listens to his tribal chief. I think Jimmy will be conflicted, scared. He might be scared, but I think we get a full-blown one-on-one match with Extreme Rules, and Cody will be the victor after going through multiple tables and being busted open. Tom?
Cody's winning the belt, and I think we're getting double use, and I think The Rock drops Roman with a rock bottom.
Oof, love to see that. Love to see that. Call him boy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the way you go. I think the heat's got to stay on Roman. So I do think that's tough, because I think Roman could easily just hit a Superman punch or a spear on Dwayne.
So do I.
That's going to fire up the fucking crowd real quick. Also, they'll make him real happy, where you're just like, all right, Dwayne's back to being a good guy. Like, now we can really be on board. We don't have to act like we're playing the part, because some towns just don't.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we love you, Rock. Like, we're not even going to pretend.
Brooklyn did it for the whole show on Monday.
Yeah,
until the end.
That's right. But until you get to the point where they're like, we kind of have to play the part now. I mean, it kills me to say it.
You're going to spite pick? You're gonna spite pick, Mike?
I'm not spite picking this year. I'm going with Cody Rhodes. It sucks for Cody. If you don't do it here, it's fucking useless anywhere else. It really is. It just, there won't be as much love to winning that belt after this build, after everything. It's been a full year. You've done your part. Cody's got to walk out with the belt at this point. But what you could have set up for your Summer Slams and stuff could be so big if parties are going to return. But yeah, it's got to be Cody. Hands down, got to be Cody this year. But if Roman does get the three, I'm going to fucking love it. I'm going to pop so hard, be excited. It could be even the one that makes me lose and pushes me down to not be Booker of the Year. It doesn't matter, because I have a whole year of saying, remember when Cody lost 2 times at WrestleMania to Roman Reigns? That's worth it to me. But no, it's Cody. I'm picking Cody.
All right, guys, we're running out of time here. It's been a megasode. Thanks for everyone that's sticking with us and listening to our picks here on the MLS Pro Wrestling Podcast. One final thing. Do we get a Damian Priest cash in either at Mania or the Raw after?
Raw after.
So you're saying yes, we get a cash in?
Yeah.
Mike?
I think Damian Priest is going to fail his cash in.
Yeah, I didn't say he was going to win.
Yeah, I think he's going to fail his cash in.
I agree as well.
And I think it's going to happen on Monday night.
Do you think it's Raw as well, Tom?
Yeah.
I agree. That'll be a bonus point if we're right. If we get wrong, fucking whatever. But that's huge. We got about a minute and a half left, Tom. Before we go, after this megasode, you've got a trivia question. I want to get it in.
I do. Sakes. And this one's a quick one, so I don't need any backstory or any of that stuff.
I know all about that.
Hey, there you go. Who was the first female hardcore champion?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
First female hardcore champion. I'm going to go Jacqueline. That's my guess. I know it's a long shot and probably wrong. My guess is Jacqueline. Mike, what do you got?
Was it Molly Holly?
It was not. Fun fact, Jacqueline was never the hardcore champion, but Molly Holly was.
What a shit belt then.
Half point.
The correct nice try. The correct answer was Bobcat, also known as one of the Godfather's hoes.
Oh wow. I thought she was one of Eric Bischoff's lesbians. I get those mixed up all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
What about the Eric Bischoff's hose?
Guys, that is our WrestleMania preview show. As always, send us your picks on the socials at In My Host Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It's Mania Week, everybody. We're having a blast. Let us know what you're watching, what you're attending. I know listener Sheldon is going to Mania. He's going to NXT. He's going to I believe, both nights. If I'm wrong, so be it. But, dude, have a blast. Anyone else, if you're going to Mania and you're listening to this, have a blast. Send us pictures on our socials. We'd love to see them. Thanks for checking out.
Get that sign made, Sheldon.
That's right.
Hard cam. Get it on hard cam.
Hard cam. Scotty V, appreciation
sign. We simp for UK Tom. That's the sign I want to see.
Guys, I'm excited for this weekend. I can't wait to enjoy the WrestleMania weekend with you fellas. Let's have some fun here. Guys, great show. Great job on the picks. It's going to be a tight race here for Booker of the Year, but we got some split picks here, so it should be interesting.
Paralegal Mike for Booker of the Year. This has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.